Today's daf is Chulin daf Ayin Zayin, and we will begin two lines from the bottom of daf Ayin Vav Amid Beis. Before we begin, today's daf is being learned Le'ilu Nishmas Daniel Baruch Ben Eliezer Shloimeh. So the Mishnah on daf Ayin Vav Amid Aleph went back to the sugyas of Elu Treifos and discuss different treifos in a behemoth. So we've mentioned that there are some yesoides related to elu treifos that are tucked away in Perek Beis Makasha. In fact, there's a whole Mishnah, a whole sugya that really the Rishonim say could have, would have, should have belonged in Perek Elu Treifos that are mentioned here in the end of Perek Beis Makasha. The halacha that we need for today's daf is the Mishnah said, Nishbar ha'etzen, if the bone of the regel, the foot, the leg of the animal broke. So the halacha is, Imroiv habasar kayim shchitasim mitahartai. If the majority of the flesh in the area where the wound is, where that sever is, where the fracture is still intact, then the halacha is, it's not considered a treifa. The imlav, and if you don't have roiv habasar, in shchitasim mitahartai. So the Gemara in the Fayin Vav Amid Beis clarified exactly what roiv basar means. Does it mean roiv avyoi? Does it mean roiv hakefai? The Gemara came out that it means both. It means roiv avyoi and roiv hakefai. Regardless, the Gemara is going to talk about different halachas as it relates to roiv basar in the area of a fracture in the leg of an animal, where the halacha is that if you have roiv basar, the animal's not a treifa. If you don't have roiv basar, the animal is going to be considered a treifa. Zok the Gemara, Hanu gidin rachin also the kamei rava, not rabba, rava. There was a story where somebody brought an animal to Rava, Nishbar ha'etzem, there was basar that was covering the area. However, the basar in and of itself did not constitute a roiv, so that we would say that it falls into the ratio of the Mishnah, where if there's roiv basar, it's not considered a treifa. Stating that, if you would take the sinews, those are the tendons and the ligaments of the animal, and you would add them to the basar, then you would have roiv. And the question was, these gidin, which were rach, they were soft at the time, are they considered basar, so that we can now add them to the basar, so you would have roiv basar, the animal would not be considered a treifa, or maybe you have to be machm, maybe it's not considered basar, and the basar itself does not make up a quote-unquote roiv, as a result, the animal is going to be a treifa. Amar Rava, so Rava said, my nechashlu, this is an easy question. He said, chada, number one, dam rabbi yoichan, gittin shosev elahak, ninun aleyem bepesach. We know the halacha is that in order to eat from a carbon pesach, you have to RSVP. So you couldn't just show up to a seder, do binach, and I want to eat from the carbon pesach. No, you had to be nimna, you had to be counted. You had to be an RSVP on a list in order to be able to eat from the Karban Pesach. Additionally, you had to make sure that every single person on the list had a kezayis basar that he was going to be able to eat from. So if you have a small animal, you invite 1,000 people, you know, you could be listed from today till tomorrow. That's not considered nimnin. So in order to be able to eat from a Karban Pesach, you had to be on a guest list, and we had to have known that there was a kezayis basar dedicated for each individual. What happens if there wasn't a kezayis for Pliny, but there were gidin? Gidin rakin, shesoifan lahakshay. Soft gidin that eventually are going to become hard. Are they considered basar with regards to Karban Pesach, or are they not? Rabbi Yochanan said, gidin shesoifan lahakshay, nimnin aleim bepesach. So Rava said, if it's considered basar, Rabbi Yochanan said that with regards to Karban Pesach, then it should be considered basar with regards to Elu Treifos. And if you have basar together with gidin that make up a roif, that should be enough, that the animal shouldn't be a treif. And Rabbi continued, sounds familiar. He said, not just that, we're dealing over here with Yiddish Gelt. And as a result, it certainly is reasonable to be Mekel and to look at the Gidin as being Basar. And as a result, we should have a Rav. I'm only Rav Papa, the Rav. Rav Papa told Rav two things. Number one, Rav Shimon ben Lakish. It's very nice that Rabbi Yochanan said, Gidin Shasev Lahakshayz, Nimna Aleim Bepesach. But if you learn that, Sugya Mesechtes Psachim, Rashi says it's in Psachim Pei Dalit. Over there, it's a Machlaikis. Rish Lakish holds not that way. So just because Rabbi Yochanan said that the Gidin Shasev Lahakshayz are considered Basar, but there's also a Rish Lakish that said it's not. And besides, this idea that it's a shod, the Yiddish gelt. It's Yisurah Dei Raisa. We're dealing with Yisurah. At the Amrit, my Leichas Lo. So the Gemara says, when Rava heard what Rapapa said, Ishtik. Rava was quiet. Drink the Rava, my Ishtik. Why was he quiet? The first Taina is a reason for him to be quiet. I mean, the second Taina in and of itself, I hear. But the first Taina is a reason for him to be quiet. What was the Taina? Rava said, said, Rabbi Yochanan said, that the Gidin Shesayfen Lahakshas are considered Basa with regards to the Karban Pesach. So why should they not be considered Basa with regards to Eilu Treifas? Rabbi Papa said, it's very nice Rabbi Yochanan said that. But Rish Lakish said, not that way. As if to say, Mechatesi, you're paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, maybe you should paskin like Rish Lakish. Fake the Gemara. Rava was maskin. He was quiet. V'amai Rava, Rav himself is the one who said, a member that's often quoted in Shas, Hilchas HaGavasit Rav Shemel Lakish Bani Klas, that Lakish like Rish Lakish, three times that he argued with Rabbi Yochanan. What do you imply from there? Every other time there's machlokes Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, that halacha is not like Rish Lakish. That halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. If that's the case, this machlokes regarding Gidin Shen Tzayf and Lahakshas, the Karban Pesach, is not one of the three times that are mentioned in the beginning of Perek HaChayilus and in other places that the halacha is like Rish Lakish. So the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan. So if the halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, Rava got it right. Why was Rava quiet? So the Gemara says, Shani Hachad Hadabei Rabbi Yochanan, Legabi Rav Shimon ben Lakish. If you know the rest of the story, Rabbi Yochanan was actually Chayzer in this case. Amalei, how do you know he was Chayzer? Because Rabbi Yochanan told Rish Lakish with regards to one of the questions Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, Al takni teini, don't ask me a question from that Mishnah, but Lashin Yochid Ani Shoynoisa. And the truth is, the Gemara doesn't really speak out where you see from there that Rabbi Yochanan was chazer from Reish Lakish, Ayin Rashi, who tells us the rest of the story, but regardless, it's clear in the Sugya Masechtas Pesachim that Rabbi Yochanan came around. So Rava was Ishtik, not because Reish Lakish holds like Rabbi Yochanan. That in and of itself didn't impress him. The reason that Rava was chazer is because he recalled when he heard Shitas Reish Lakish that Rabbi Yochanan had been chazer to Shitas Reish Lakish. Point: Rabbi Yochanan himself was chazer, and being that Rabbi Yochanan himself was chazer, it's for that reason that he came around. Zok Gemara: Ahu Nishbaro Etzem VeYotzal Luchutz. There was a story where an animal had a broken bone, and the bone was protruding outside of the skin. The Ishtakel Kurtisa Mine, and a little chip of the bone fell off. Also, Lekamid Abaya. The question was brought before Abaya. Now, the shaila was that Nishbaro Etzem. The Mishnah says if there's Roiv HaBasar, it's okay. If you don't have Reva Basar, then it's not okay. The reason that Abaya looked at this Shaila and a little bit differently is because over here there was a little bit of bone that actually fell off. And because of that cortisa, that little bit of bone that fell off, the thought was that maybe the halacha is going to be different. So it was presented to Abaya. Abaya didn't know the halacha. Shehi ate klaser rigli. He waited around shalosh regalim. Rashi said, Lishol halacha l'chachamim hanesafan l'regal. The chachamim used to come and they would get together on Yontif. And Abaya knew this would be an opportunity to speak it over with the gedolim. Three regalim passed and Abaya still didn't know the halacha. Adabar Masno. So Rav Adabar Masno said, he told this Yid who had brought the Shaila to Abaya, Zilka made the Rava, great Rav Yosef Bar Chama, go bring the Shaila to Rava, the son of Rav Yosef, who is the son of Chama, says Rashi, also known as Rava, who Rava Bar Plukte Dabai. In other words, bring it to Rava, the Harifa Sakine, because he's very sharp. He's a charif, and he'll be able to answer. He doesn't have to wait three regalim. Rava will be able to tell you the answer. The Mar says, also, they brought it to Rava. Amar, what did Rava say? Mechti, nishbar, etzav, yotzal, chutzanan. The Mishnah talks about a broken bone. Mali, nafa, mali, yisei. Doesn't say anything about a bone chip, no bone. Doesn't say anything about that. And as a result, there's no reason to make up svaras. Thus, if there's Rav HaBasar, it's going to be okay. If there's not Rav HaBasar, it's not going to be okay. So, this Yid told the Shoyo, Rav Adabar Masna told the Shoyo, bring it to Rava because he's a Charifa Sakine. At the end of the day, Rava didn't say such a Charifas. Rava actually said Pashup Shat. He said the Mishnah doesn't say anything about a bone chip. As a result, there's no reason to make any assumptions. Thus, the Halach is going to be okay. Amalei Ravina L'Rava. Ravina told Rava, Mislakit Mao. What if you have Rav HaBasar? But the Rav HaBasar isn't in one area. So it's not one big chunk of flesh that's covering the bone. But rather, there's pockets of flesh that are missing. But if you add up all the flesh that is there, you're going to end up with a Rav. Is that okay? If it's going to have to be gathered, so to speak, mislakeit. But at the end of the day, you're going to have a right. Misroises mahu. What if the skin started, or the flesh started to erode? Rashi says it's very shvach. Mismaseis mahu. That's even more than that. It's starting to really go bad. Nirkav. Says the Gemara, hey, Mismasis, hey, Chidom, you give me an example of Mismasis. It's a case with the veterinarian. The doctor is going to cut it away and he's going to get rid of the flesh. It's that bad. The question is, all these cases, if you have Rav HaBasar, but there's some Reyesa, Rashi says, in the Basar, it's not perfect. Is that enough to say that there is Rav HaBasar, thus the animal's not going to be a Treifa, or is it not enough? Another question, Nikev Ma, what if there's a whole in the basar. So this basar that's choifa has in it a nikev. What's a nikev? Rashi says nefkev katan. That's what Rashi said right in the beginning of Perikei L'Treifas. It's what Rashi said throughout Perikei L'Treifas. So nekev always means a little bit of a hole. So you have a hole in the basar that's covering the fracture. Niklaf mahu. What if the basar that's covering the bone is not attached to the bone? So it was detached from the bone. So the basar's there, but it's not firmly attached to the bone. Do you say the basar's there, or it actually has to be affixed to the bone in order for it to be considered basar ha-choyfa, nistak mahu? What if there's a crack in the basar? Rashi says a nekev is where it's a little hole. A nistak is always when it's like a line. Either way, it's a crack going through the basar. Nitel shlish atachtei mahu, a fourth shayla. What happens if the basar was detached from the bone and the lower layer of the basar was removed? So this is really intim tzoloimar of niklach. The second shayla was niklach mahu, where the basar was detached from the bone. So we have a shayla. Do you say the basar is there? Or do you say that if it's detached, it's going to be a problem? Intim tzoloimar, that being that it's there, even though it's detached, it's enough for it to not be a treifa. So now we can ante it up. Ask another question. What would be if you have the basar, it's there, it's detached, and you're even missing a layer? Is that also okay? Or maybe only niklaf is okay, where at the very least all the basar is there. Either way, it says the Gemara Toshmat. The ur is like the basar. Now, the assumption is that the ur is not attached to the bone. It just would do what the basar would do, in that it would cover the bone. If you're going to tell me that the basar has to be attached to the bone, then how could the ur be like the basar? The ur is not attached to the bone. Thus, from the fact that ur is treated like basar, you see that basar itself, that's inside into basar. You see that basar doesn't have to be attached. And that would be poshet, therefore, two of the four questions. It would be poshet the shayla of niklaf, and it would be poshet the shayla of nitel shlish atachtoi. You see, even though you don't have the covering attached to the bone, and you're missing all the basar, certainly if you're missing only a third of the basar, you're missing all the basar, that's enough for it to be considered basar ha-chayfa. So says the Gemara, l'chura, from what Rabbi Yochanan said, Ula said this in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, that ur covering the fracture is like flesh covering the fracture. That should be a raya to two of the last four questions, niklaf mau and nitl shlusha tachta mau. But the Gemara says it's not true, because dilma dekana mishcha dide. Maybe when Ula said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that ur is kabasar, he's talking about a place where there is no basar. So if you have an area where there's no basar, it's bone and skin, in that area, the ur habasar would work to cover the fracture. But en hachinami, if there is supposed to be basar, it could be the fact that the basar is not there, or the fact that, at the very least, the ur is not attached to the bone. That would be an issue. Om Rav Ashi, kevina be rapapi. When I was by rapapi, Boylan, they asked him the following question. Niktar kimin tabas maos. What if there's a fracture? The fracture is covered by basar. However, the basar that's covering the fracture is not attached to the rest of the basar on the animal, because there's a hole, think of like a little ditch that was carved out around the basar that's chayfa the fracture, and as a result, it's like living on an island, that piece of basar. It's not attached to the basar around it. So niktar, if you cut out, kemin tabas. Now, what's the halach? Shavita said in the name of Rav that he asked this question to the chachamim. He asked this question to the roifim. The amrun, they told him, that it's going to be okay. And the reason it's going to be okay is because from the metzias is that it's possible to get that flesh that was carved out to regenerate. And the operation, the procedure that was done is the veterinarian would take a bone of another animal, he would scratch the edges of this basar that's covering the wound, umala rucha, and that would cause the flesh in the area that was carved out to regenerate. The Gemara says, avul parzel mizrezav, you have to do it dafka with a bone, but if you do it with iron, for example, that's just going to harm the animal, that's not going to be okay. Rapapa added another caveat. The only time you can do it is if you see signs of regeneration. Otherwise, it's not going to be fine. But regardless, the point is that being that it is possible for that basar that was carved out to regenerate, so therefore it's not considered detached, the basar that is chayfa, if it's attached to the rest of the basar in the animal, it's for that reason it's going to be okay. So before we go weiter, just two short ha'aras. The first ha'ara is, yesterday we spoke at length about the klolei hashas. So we were talking about halacha kriya v'kiva mechaveiroi, V'loy mechaveira, v'yad malachi says that it's poshut and it's golu v'yodua, v'chol yoydei das v'din, that halacha kriya b'yakiva mechaveiroi, yachid, v'loy mechaveiroi. Incidentally, you find it by Rebbe as well. The Gemara says, halacha kirebi mechaveiroi. What about Mechaveirov? But regardless, Halacha Krebi Kiva Mechaveirov, Le Mechaveirov. But we found that Malachi himself quotes a Taz in two places, where the Taz says Halacha Krebi Kiva Mechaveirov, Ve'afilo Mechaveirov. And we spoke out that the Chavis Yar, in his Simen, in Shaul Sechuvah's Chavis Yar, Simen Tzadik Dalet, where he wrote his Kolia Talmud, he says that he found in the Taz Yom Tan, the first paragraph of Sachta Shviyas, who also said Halacha Krebi Kiva Mechaveirov, Ve'afilo Mechaveirov. And we had a diak yesterday in the Teres Chaim, the Bells of Roof, in the 17th century, who also seemed to say that halacha kriya b'yakiva mechaveiroi ve'afilu mechaveirov. Either way, in the spirit of Kloli HaTalmud, so the Gemara mentioned over here that halacha is like Rabbi Yochanan, legabe reish lakish, lebar miklas. Now we often say that the halacha was always like Rabbi Yochanan, the great Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan was the gadol hadar in Eretz Yisrael, the first generation of Am Yerom. Rabbi Yochanan was a Talmud Rabbi Yudah Nasi, who is typically considered to have been the last of the Tanoim. So Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was the author of the Mishnah. He was the Dor Achroim of the Tanoim. Started with Shimon HaTzadik, who was from the Shiori Anshe Knesset HaGdoila, as the Mishnah says in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, and it lasted hundreds and hundreds of years through Bayis Sheni, through the Churban, a few generations after the Churban, until finally Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi was the author of the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi passed away, the generation of the Tanoim ended, that began the generation of the Amiram. And Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi's Talmidim were the first Amiram. Rav was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Rabbi Yochanan was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, Rabbi Chiya, etc. Regardless, Rabbi Yochanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, and he was the God of Adar in Eretz Yisrael. At the same time, Rav and Shmuel lived in Bavel. They were the G'dayli Adar in Bavel. So not all the Amiroyim are treated in Shas on the same level. Rabbi Yochanan, you have Rav, you have Shmuel, all the Amiram, the G'dayli Amiram. But when it comes to Psak in different areas, in Sugyas, just like an Amira can't argue with a Tana, you see that different members of different Amiram were treated differently in Shas. Regardless, Rabbi Yochanan was the God of Adar in Eretz Yisrael, Rav and Shmuel were the G'dayli Adar in Bavel. The Gemara says in the Sachas Be'ed Daftal, whenever Rav and Rabbi Yochanan argued, Allah is like Rabbi Yochanan. The Gemara says in Erev and Memvav Mem Zayin, that whenever Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan argued, Allah is like Rabbi Yochanan. Whenever Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish argued, we just learned this, that Allah is like Rabbi Yochanan, with three objections. So the point is, Rabbi Yochanan was considered for G'dayli Amiram. Tell you something interesting. Tosfos in Masechtas Megillah, Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph says, and really there's Tosfos in many places in Shas, and Tosfos says it b'shem Rabbeinu Tam, that there's one Amora who, when he argued with Rabbi Yochanan, the halacha was not like Rabbi Yochanan. And that's Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Tosfos brings this raya from a Gemara in Megillah Chav Zayin amongst others, but it's just kedai to hear it inside. Mehocha mashma, the halacha k'Rabbi Shua ben Levi legabi de Rabbi Yochanan. Either way, so although it's true that halacha is always like Rabbi Yochanan, the great Rabbi Yochanan, but Rabbi Yochanan argued with Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who was also an Amora, the halacha follows Rabbi Shua ben Levi, the halacha does not follow Rabbi Yochanan. Either way, that's the first ara. The second ara is, so the Gemara mentioned that a shaila was brought to Abaya. It was a question made with Treifus, an animal that had a fracture, and a little bit of bone fell off, and the question is, there was still Reiv HaBasar, but now that it's missing a piece of the bone, it's Chasar, maybe that's not enough to say that the animal is not going to be a Treifa. Now, Abaya didn't know what to do. So Abaya waited Shalish Regalim, Shehiye Tlosa Rigli. He waited 3 Yomim Toivim. Rashi says, Lishol Halacha L'Chachamim HaNesofen L'Regal, and he wanted to hear the answer. Abai still didn't know. They brought it to Rava. Rava was a Sakina Harifa, or a Harifa Sakina, and Rava was pushed to Shaila in a second. Not such a Harifa, so he said, Mish doesn't say anything about Mr. Gabon. So, Nishpara Etzem, to me, is Nishpara Etzem. There is a little piece that fell off. There isn't a little piece that fell off. But regardless, it would seem from this Gemara that there was some concept of Oyla Rega in the times of Abai. And really, it's a very big chiddush. Number one, Abaya lived hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. Abaya lived almost a half a century after Churban Bayis Sheni. And if that's the case, half a millennia. So if that's the case, then L'chaira, what's the pshat that they were being Oyla Rega? They were coming together on Yontif? What's this idea of coming together on Yontif? Once upon a time, Shalosh Pamim Hashana, Yeirah Kol Zechuros Bnei Hashana Lekecha. But this is already almost 500 years after Churban Beis HaMikdash. So why is it that the Yidim were coming together? And besides, where did Abaya live? Abaye lived in Bavel. So if Abaye lived in Bavel, the Yidden are coming together in Bavel. The truth is that there's a Gemara Masechtas Nedarim Daf Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. The context over there is the Gemara is talking about if somebody makes a neder, and then he has charata that he made the neder. So he can go to a chacham with a pesach and a charata. Given you have to read the fine print, but sometimes a chacham has an ability to say mutalach, 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 shimun or abaisai, and you have an ability to get out of a neder. The Gemara tells a story. The Gemara says, but there was a story with a person, Shahidir es ishtoi milalois l'regel. He made a neder, told his wife, you cannot come with me to be oil regel, going myself. And she didn't listen. She came along, and he came to Rabbi Yossi, and he says, my wife, she violated a neder, this is very, very terrible. So Rabbi Yossi tells this man, had you known that she was going to violate your nether, would you have made the nether? That's why you need a good Jewish lawyer. He said, had you known she was going to violate the nether, would you have made the nether? Of course not. I only did it because I thought she was going to keep it. So then the whole nether is not a nether. He was able to big chiddush and hilchas nedarim, Rabbi Yossi. But we don't need the hilchas nedarim piece. We need something else. So what was the story? Says the Marat Zchiyos, Rabbi Yossi is Rabbi Yossi ben Chalafta. He lived after the Churban. He lived B'dor Rishon Rebbe. He lived after Rabbi Akiva, who lived years after the Churban. Rabbi Akiva witnessed the Churban as a younger man, but years after the Churban. The point is that Rabbi Yossi, this story happened after the Churban. If this story happened after the Churban, why are they being Goyle Rego? Says Marat Zchiyos that it could be. That being that this man Domin Shas that holds, that Kedusha Rishoyin Nekitcha L'Shai to V'Kitcha L'Asa Lavoi, and he makes a cheshbin with Rabbi Yossi L'Shitasa, but Kedusha Rishoyin Nekitcha L'Shai to V'Kitcha L'Asa Lavoi, Makriven Afal Pichain Bais, it could be the Yidden used to be Goyle Rego, and they would bring Karbonos on the Harabayas, they would do it the way you were supposed to do it when Hashanah Kitikurim, even after the Churban, based on the idea of Shomati Shemakriv and Afal Pisha in Bayas, Dvarim Niflon. But says Maritz Chiyas, if you take a look at the Pirisha Rosh on this Gemara Besech Nesadarim, it seems that the Rosh was bothered with this question. Listen to what the Rosh says. Va'osa L'Regel. The Rosh is explaining this story. Shahayu Miskapsim L'Shmaya Hadrasha. People used to come together to learn Torah. Even the women would come. Why were the women coming? They were coming to hear Shir? No. To see the Kavadat Torah. Says Marat Zchias, what was bothering the Rosh? The Rosh felt that he needed to explain Eilu Regel. Everyone knows there's a mitzvah to be Eilu Regel. So why does the Rosh, they used to come to hear drushes, and the women used to also come, Kavadat Torah. Well, why do we need drushes and cover that Torah? It's a nice shmooze, but what do we need this for? Oyler Regal, it's a mitzvah in the Torah. It says it again and again and again. It says it many times in the Torah. There's a mitzvah to be Oyler Regal. Says Marat Zchias, because the Rosh was bothered with my kasha. He was bothered Rabbi Yossi, chronologically, lived after the Churban. If he lived after the Churban, they weren't bringing karbonos, pashtas. So if they weren't bringing karbonos, then why were people being Oyler Regal? The Torah says, even after the Churban, the minig of Jews coming together, this pilgrimage, where they would come together on Yontif, yeah, I know what you're writing, still took place. trust me, I know where you're going with that. So, still took place. And as a result, they used to come together. So the truth is that if the idea of being Goyle Regal after the Churban is related to Shemakriv and Afal Bishayim Bayis, that only passes the narrative. So it doesn't pass the Chutzlars. But if the idea was Shabayla Shmaya Adrasha, and to see the Kavadat Torah, maybe they did it in Babel as well. Now, by the way, just it's worth mentioning that Rabbi Yaakov Emden, we've spoken this out a few times, and it's like Goyis Yaivetz, in the second parak of Masechta Avodah Zarah, in the sugyas of Cholav Akum and Shemen Akum and Pas Akum, Pas Palter, in that sugya, is Medayik, a Gemara that seems to place Rava at the port of Haifa. And Rabbi Yaakov Edna says, Rava lived in Bavel. Why is Rava at the port of Haifa? So he says that we know that you find that Amiram used to go to Eretz Yisrael to learn Torah. He says, not only the Amiram that I mentioned, Ravin is mentioned, Rav Dimi, you have Rav Zeira, right? A lot of Amiram are mentioned in Shas. They went up, he saw like Rav Zeira, but he said that all the Amiram went to Eretz Yisrael. Rava also went to Eretz Yisrael. As a result, Rav is in Eretz Yisrael. So Pashat, you could think, oh, maybe this took place in Eretz Yisrael, but it's not mashma that way. Because this doesn't sound like a young Abaye V'Rava learning in Eretz Yisrael. This sounds like Abaye V'Rava, the poiskim that they're bringing Shailas to, and they brought it to Abaye, then bring it to Rava. It doesn't sound like this took place in Eretz Yisrael. Regardless, I think in this Gemara, Chulin Ayin Zayin, you see more than you see in the Darm Chav Gimel. In the Darm Chav Gimel, you see there was a concept of Aliyah L'Regel after the Churban. That was Eretz Yisrael, Rav Yossi. Over here you see that it was true even in Bavel, but based on the Rosh's Pshat and that Gemara in the Darm Chav Gimel Aman Aleph, I don't think it makes a difference whether it was Bavel or Eretz Yisrael. Because if the idea is to bring Karbanos, yeah, obviously you can only bring Karbanos in Eretz Yisrael. But if the idea is related to Lishmaya Hadrasha, to Shteig away, to see Kavod HaTorah, thus even the women came, if that's what it's about, L'chura, that's something that would make sense in Bavel, just as much as it would make sense in Eretz Yisrael. So we now return to our regular program, which is Perek Behema Mekasha, which discusses the halacha that if you shecht a female behema and there's an uber, the halacha is the uber becomes mutter. Says the Mishnah, what happens if somebody shechts a behema umatzah b'shulya? He found not an uber, but a shulya. So the shulya is the amniotic sac that the uber lives in. So an uber develops in the womb of its mother, whether it's a human, whether it's an animal, it's the same. It develops in the rechem, but it's enveloped in a sack of water, which itself sits inside the womb. So the uber is in the shilya, which is the amniotic sac, which in it itself is in the rechem. So in this case, somebody shechted a behema, he didn't find an uber. What he found was an amniotic sac. We can see the Gemara says that a shilya is a simen vlad. Obviously, if there's a shilya, if there's an amniotic sac, it was developed because the child developed. But you didn't see the uber. What you found was the shilya itself. The halach is nefesh hayofa toichlenu. If you could handle it, you're allowed to eat. Meaning it's kosher. Most people can't eat it, but at the same time, it's okay. It doesn't become being that most people don't eat it, it's not considered an oichel. And as a result, even if it's huchshel kabel tuma, and then a sheretz falls on it, it doesn't become tamei tumas oichlin. Additionally, if the animal dies naturally, for example, and then you find inside the animal the shilya, it's not going to be tamei tumas nevela. If the shoichet had in mind to eat the shulya, so then the halacha is, because you had in mind to eat the shulya, so now the shulya does get a din oichel, thus metama tumas oichlin, avaloi tumas nevelos. So it gets a din oichel, thus it's subject to the laws of tumas oichlin, but it's not going to be subject to the laws of tumas. Rashi says, because in order to be tummy tumas nevelos, it's not enough that you're oichel. You have to be basa. So shilya, if chishev aleh, will be considered oichel, but it won't be considered basa. Shilya shiyat samiktasa. What happens if before the shchita, a little bit of the shilya came out of the mother? So now you shechted, and a little bit of shilya is out. Halach is asur b'achil. You're not allowed to eat the entire shilya. Why not? We had this earlier in the parak. The reason is because, as the Mishnah says, simen vlad be'ish of a simen vlad be'behema. Because if there's a shilya, we assume that there's a vlad, because why else did the mother develop the shilya? Obviously, because there was a vlad. Now, you don't see the vlad. So, the vlad must have been, something must have happened to the vlad. There was a very early stage miscarriage. But if there's a shilya, there was a vlad. We're concerned that when the shilya came out, the vlad came out. Which part of the vlad? The head, which constitutes leda. Once there's a leda, the entire uber is no longer mutar b'achila. Thus, we're worried that inside the shilya there's a vlad. Shahoytzias reishai. So now you can't eat the shilya. Not because of the shilya. The part of the shilya that was inside doesn't bother me. That's outside bothers me. But that was inside doesn't bother me. The issue is the vlad that might have been inside the shilya, which could be its head poked out. Once that happens, the entire vlad is asr. So in this case, it's going to make the entire shulya asr. I'm a vakeres, shapila shulya, a baby that miscarried a shulya. It's her first child. Halacha is, there's no kedusha. Yashlichenu l'klafen. You can feed it to the dogs. The Gemara is going to explain this. Ubim muktashim. Let's say you have a regular behema that's hektish, like a shlomim that could be in a keva, and it too miscarries a shilya. Talach is the cover. You have to bury it. Then kovin oisav b'proshes drachim. You now let her bury it at the fork of the road. We'll see what that means. Then toilin oisav b'ilan. Additionally, you now let her hang it on a tree. Mibnei darki amayri. So apparently, the uvdei avodah zarah, the pagans specifically, those from the land of Amori, what they used to do is if a behema would miscarry, so they would take the Nephil that was miscarried, and they would do one of two things. Either they would bury it at a process drachim, at a like a main intersection, or they would suspend it from a tree, and somehow they thought that was a good thing. That was a skula, that this behemoth should not miscarry again. That's something a Jew's not allowed to do, simply because it's midarkei amayr. How do you know that if you shecht an animal, you're allowed to eat the shulya? Because it says, kol behema ba behema oisa teichelu, the same passage that tells me you're allowed to eat the uber, tells me you're allowed to eat the shul. The rabbi says, I would think that even if it came out a little bit, that same pasuk that teaches me that you're allowed to eat anything in a behemoth says, oiso toichelu. Now we learn from oiso toichelu, only it, v'loi shulyasa. But if the shulya came out, now you can't eat the shulya anymore. Fake the mar mechdi. Ain't shulya b'loi v'lad. Lamalikra. Why do I need a pasuk to tell me that you're not allowed to eat the shulya if it came out? We just spoke out in the Mishnah that it's a svara. We know it from the beginning of the parak. Ain't shulya b'loi v'lad. If the shulya came out, maybe part of the vlad came out, a part of the vlad that would constitute leda. Thus, I can't eat the shulya because of the vlad that's intertwined in it, maybe. And if that's the case, then why do I need a pasuk to tell me that if the shulya is yotza miktasa, I'm not allowed to eat the shulya? I don't need a pasuk for this. I have enough information up until this point in Perek Behema Makasha to know this halacha. So the Gemara says, you're right. Cross machtav alma. It's true. You really don't need the pasuk. It's only nas machtav alma. The inner metama. The Mishnah said that the shulya was not metama tumas soichlin. So on the topic of foods that people don't usually eat and whether or not they're tamei tumas soichlin, boy Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Nafcha. Rabbi Yitzchok Bar Nafcha posed the following question: Ur chamor sheshol gumav. If somebody takes the skin of a donkey, and he cooks it really, really well. So the skin of a donkey apparently was not roi lachilo. But he was shulkoi, Rashi on the bottom of the yomid. Bishloi harbe ma'oid. He cooked it harbe ma'oid. Double lasha. So he cooked it a lot. Now it's at the point where you maybe could eat it. So the question is, what's the halacha? So the Gemara says, what's the halacha regarding what? Either tumas oichlin. You want to know if it can be tummy tumas oichlin tanino. Either tumas neveilois tanino. Where's this? Tumas oichlin tanino. The tanya will enter the braiso. Or vashul ye emet tamin tumas oichlin. The ur in the shul ye not tamin tumas oichlin. Or shashulka vashul ye shechichav aleo. If you cook the ur for a long time, or if you had in mind to eat the shul ye, then the halacha is tamin tumas oichlin. So it's mefurish. The ur is tamin tumas oichlin. So what exactly is the shayla? The Gemara says, "Bayi Rabbi Yitzchak Nafka Ur Shalko Mao." You want to know if you take the ur and you cook it a lot, whether it's tamei tumas oichlin? It's a mafurish abraisa. Ha'ur Shalkoi, that loch is tamei tumas oichlin. So maybe the question was something else. Maybe the question is, maybe is it tamei tumas nevelos? But the Gemara says, "Nami tanina." That's also mafurish. Bin of Lasa, it says in the Torah, "Now let it eat nevelo." V'loy ba'ur v'loy batzomes. This is it does not apply to the skin or to the bones or to the gidin. Those are the sinews. V'loy b'karnayim or to the horns of the animal. V'loy fluffing to the hooves of the animal. So you see clearly that the ur is excluded from the nevelo. So we know that if you cook the skin, it is tamei tumas oichlin. And we know that if you cook the skin, it's not tamei tumas nevelo. So either way, these are braises. So what's Rabbi Yitzchak ben Afka? Shailo, Rav Amar Rabbi Bar Barchanu, Lein Nitzchal Shalsan Tiki Gedera. We're explaining that last braise. Even if you cooked all the aforementioned, still it's not tamei tumas nevelo. So Gemara says, Lein tumas oichlin, and Shailo was regarding tumas oichlin. V'shani ur chamor demas. He wanted to know about the ur of a chamor, because the ur of a chamor apparently is different. It's distinguished from the ur of other animals. It's disgusting. Thus, the question was, I know there's a braise, said Rabbi Yitzchak ben Afka, that if you cook, or it could be the halacha is that it's going to be tamei tumas oichlin, but maybe the arva chamar, being that it's disgusting, it's going to be different. That was the question. Zok de gemar reshulya sheyatze so amar abalazal leishan rola sheinim avlad. The only time the halacha is that if the shulya comes out of its mother, the halacha is that you're not allowed to eat the shulya. That's if there was no vlad inside the mother. Little tricky Gemara. But if there was a vlad inside the mother, ain't chayshon levat. What's the reason if the shulya comes out, you're not allowed to eat the shulya? Because we're worried there's a vlad inside the shulya. You just don't see it. And when it came out, the roish came out. Thus, you can't eat the shulya because of the vlad that's inside. But if you see a vlad in the animal, so you see the vlad somehow was detached from its amniotic sac. The vlad is inside the animal, didn't leave the animal. It's a shul you would add a vlad. Oh, in that case, said Rabbi Loza, there's no reason it should be a problem. I mean, what would be the tzad it should still be a problem? Maybe you have to be concerned that there was another vlad inside this shulya. No, that already is not so reasonable. It makes more sense that the vlad that has no shulya and the shulya that has no vlad are related to each other. Thus, somehow they got detached. It was only the shulya part that went out, not the vlad. So that's not a reason for it to be asur b'achila now. The other tzad would be that the vlad that's inside the mother without a shulya is a vlad without a shulya. And this shilya that came out really has another vlad that's crushed inside of it. To be chayish levlad acher, when you see already a vlad, no. Rabbi Yechanan says, I disagree. Bein eini mavlad, bein yeshi mavlad, choishish in levlad acher. You always have to be chayish that maybe there was another vlad in the shilya that came out. Feeling more eini vam, Rabbi Yirmi yuluchumra, amr Rabbi Lazar. Rabbi Yirmi said that Rabbi Lazar in his machloikas with Rabbi Yechanan was the machmer. In this case, Rabbi Yechanan's the machmer. Rabbi Lazar's the mekel. Rabbi Lazar said the only time you're not allowed to eat the shilya is if you don't see a vlad. If you see a vlad, you can. You can, meaning a kula. Rabbi Yochanan said, even if you see a vlad, you cannot, meaning a chumrah. So how could Rabbi Yirmiyah say that Rabbi Elazar is the machmer based on this explanation in the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar? It's clear Rabbi Yochanan is the machmer. So the Gemara says, Eli yitma hachi yitma. Am Rabbi Elazar lo yishanu ala she'en kshur b'vlad. You have to say that the machlokes was different. The machlokes was, first of all, a different case. That Rabbi Elazar talking and says that the only time it's true that if there's a shilya, and it comes out that loch is inality to show you. That's only true if there was no vlad attached to it. Elo she'ena kshura b'vlad. Aval kshura b'vlad. But let's say there was a vlad inside, and the vlad was attached to the shulya. Then for sure we assume that the vlad and the shulya are together. Only the shulya went out, not the vlad. We're not chayish levlad acher, and as a result, in chayish levlad acher, it's going to be okay. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Rabbi Yochanan said, "Anu ein lanu ela shulya bevloy vlad." Aval yeshim avlad ben kshur bevlad ben ein kshur bevlad ein chayish levlad acher. Rabbi Yochanan said that the only time shulya is a problem is if there was no vlad. But if there's a vlad, then the shulya is not going to be an issue. Either way, in this case, it comes that Rabbi Elazar is the one that's machmer. Because in this case, Rabbi Yochanan said that if you have a vlad inside the animal, you have nothing to worry about with the shulya. Rabbi Elazar was the one that said that if you have a vlad, it could be a problem, but only if they're attached. But either way, we just switched two things. Number one, we made Rabbi Elazar the machmer. Number two, we switched this case. Really, all we needed to do was make Rabbi Elazar the machmer, which the Mefarshim discussed. But either way, just for Pashim Shana and the Gemara, we switched two things. We made Rabbi Elazar the machmer, Rabbi Yechanan the mekel. We also switched the case a little bit. Either way, it's very good that what Rabbi Yirmiyah meant when he said that Rabbi Elazar was the one that was machmer. But either way, it comes out as a chiddush. It comes out that if you have a shulya and a vlad, and the vlad is not in the shulya, do you have to assume that maybe there was a different vlad inside the shulya? It depends. If the vlad and the shulya are attached to each other, then you don't have to assume there was another vlad inside the shulya. If they're not attached to each other, in that case, you would have to assume it. So there's something about the vlad and the shulya being attached that somehow makes the difference. As the Gemara, that prat, Tanya Gavas Rabbi Elazar. We have a brisa that supports that. Hamapelas mem behem chayva oif v'shulya imahem. So this is discussing a woman that gave birth to a child that looks like a behemah chayva oif. So we had this earlier in the parak, where it was machlokes Rameir the Chachamim, whether she's tameh tumas yoledes or she's not tameh tumas yoledes. Rameir says, yeah, because it says vayitzer by a chayra behemah as well. The Chachamim say no, because it has to have a tzuras of vlad. If it doesn't have a tzuras of vlad, there's no halachas of yoledes, there's no laws of tumah v'tahayra. So this price is going according to the Chachamim, that there's no halachas of tumah v'tahayra if it doesn't have a tzuras of vlad. So what happened? A woman miscarried a child, looks like a behemah chayva oif, but there was also an amniotic sac. And there's nothing inside that amniotic sac. The question is, we have to be concerned or suspect that maybe inside that amniotic sac there was once a child, and as a result, maybe she does have to have tumas yoledes. Not because of the child that we see she miscarried, but because of the child that might have been inside the shulya. What does the braisa say? It depends. Bizman shekshuru behen. If the child that looks like a behema is attached to the amniotic sac, and choshen levlad acher, you don't have to be worried about a vlad acher, because we assume that the child belongs to the sac, and the sac belongs to the child. If they're not attached to each other, really, then already you have to be concerned. Because I'm concerned. Maybe the shulya, the sac, once had a fetus, and something happened to the fetus. And the fetus, the child that was miscarried, once had a sac, and something happened to the sac. If they're not attached to each other, now I have to suspect the worst. What does the worst mean? You have to suspect that maybe there was a child here that miscarried as well. As a result, two chumras. What are the two chumras? So the one chumra is obvious. You have to be concerned that maybe she had a child. If she had a child, there's tumah now. You have to worry about the tumas yoledes. That's outlined in the beginning of Parshas Tazria. But there's a chumra as well in the reverse. That is when a woman has a baby, so midday raisa, she's taught me 7 days or 14 days, depending if she has a boy or a girl. But after that, any blood that she sees is not dam nida anymore. It's all dam tahira. That dam tahira, that chiddush ha-tahira is only true if you have a a child. But if you have a min behem chayv oif according to chacham, you don't have dam taira. So really, it's a chumra both ways. You're going to have to be machmer and have yemei toma, but also any blood that comes during the yemei taira, quote unquote, is not going to be treated as yemei taira because maybe she never had a child. If she never had a child, it's a regular dam nida. So as a result, you have to go ahead and work with both chumras. I'm a vakeres shepilo. The Mishnah said that I'm a vakeres that has a woman that miscarries her first child. So what's the halacha? Yashlichena leklavim. You could throw it to the dogs. My time. Why let it throw it to the dogs? I'm Rabbi Gebreder, Rabbi Ami. The reason is because roiv behemois yoldois dover hakadosh bebchayro. Because most behemois give birth to things that are kadosh bebchayro, but amid yoldos davar she'ena kadosh bebchayro. There are babies that don't have kedushas bebchayro. Why? So Rashi says, again, same theme, that if a baby, here we're talking about animals, that gives birth to an animal that looks like it's from a different species, Rachel sheyolda min eis, or eis sheyolda doima l'rachel, umay niu nidma, that's what a nidma is. So not all animals are subject to bechar. Most are. Let's say 99% are. But it's not 100%. V'chol ha-yoldois, yoldois mechzes, charem mechzes nekevis. And all babies are either a boy or a girl. So let's assume 50% boys, 50% girls. Seich miyuta de nidma. Take the miyut of nidma, little math. Le mechz de nekevis. Carry it over. Move it over to the mechz of nekevis. Havelu schar miyuta. It comes out that there's actually a smaller chance that this child is subject to bechar than not subject to bechar. Because there's a possibility that it's in a keva. And there's a possibility that it's going to be a nidma. Thus, Raif says it's not. You can go bust a Raif. You can take this nafel. You don't know if it was a boy or a girl. It was an nidma. You have no idea. So what could you do with it? You can feed it to the dog. Mikdashim to cover. If however this was a behemoth hakdish, there the halachas you have to bury it. My time. What's the reason? Ruba bar mikdashu, because the majority of them are subject to hektish. Because roiv animals are shaykh to hektish, right? There's a nidma. You know, there are examples of animals that are not subject to hektish. But when it comes to hektish, it doesn't matter if it's a zachar and a keva. So as a result, roiv and them are going to be subject to hektish. Thus, the halacha is ki kaver. We are going to end right before the new parak. The next Gemara is a festive Gemara. That's Hashem. We'll pick that up in the next step.